have a responsibility to reach out to those around us who so desperately need the light which we possess.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The Christian's Great Duty. It kind of introduces a third major section of this first chapter of 2 Timothy. If we were to ask the Apostle Paul what man's first duty is in relation to the gospel, I think that he would probably say that his first duty is to believe it and then to receive it by faith. But his concern in this passage, verses 11 to 18, is not so much with the unbeliever's duty as it is with the duty of the Christian toward the gospel which he has already embraced by faith. We have a duty with respect to this message of the gospel. Now, we've already seen several things in this first chapter of 2 Timothy. For example, we have seen the messengers of the gospel, and they are described in verses 1 to 7. We saw the techniques by which God molds and fashions his messengers into all that he wants them to be. And then we look secondly beyond the messengers of the gospel in verses 1 to 7. We look secondly at the message of the gospel, and that is described in verses 8 to 10. We saw there the attitudes of the Christian messenger and the attributes of the Christian message, and I listed seven of those attributes a week ago. And now Paul turns our attention from the messengers of the gospel and the message of the gospel to what I would call the mandate of the gospel, certain ultimatums that he lays upon us, certain responsibilities toward which he directs us. And these are in verses 11 to 18. And in that section, he will illustrate the believer's relationship to this mighty message of the gospel here and now. We are taught in verse 10 that the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty work on the cross has brought about an abolition of death. That is to say, he has eviscerated or emptied death of its power. It is like a scorpion whose sting has been removed. It is no longer a penalty in any sense of the term. It is rather a medium of introduction for the child of God into the very presence of the Lord. He's brought about the abolition of death. And in contrast to that, the scripture says that life and immortality have now been brought to light through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if that is true, and it certainly is because the Bible says it's true, if that is true, then it is absolutely imperative that we should learn to fulfill our duty with respect to this great message. It is in the message of the gospel that life and immortality are brought to light, and that is precisely the message that our world, the secular world, the modern world, needs to hear. There is life available, life that has meaning, life that has substance, life that has content to it, life with a capital L, life here and now, and life in the hereafter. Life and immortality are brought to light. They're made to shine through the mighty message of the gospel. And if that's so, you and I have a responsibility with respect to that gospel message as Christians. Now, what is our responsibility? Let me suggest that every person should be conscious of and responsive to his great responsibility toward the gospel. If you're an unsaved man, if you're an unsaved woman, your great responsibility is to believe it and to receive it by faith today. Today would be a good day to do it. If you are a Christian, then you have a little different responsibility with respect to that gospel. And I would suggest, on the basis of verses 11 to 18, of this first chapter of 2 Timothy that there are three basic responsibilities prescribed for us by the Apostle Paul in that passage. Number one, he says, here's our first responsibility with respect to the gospel, Christians. One, you should spread it actively. That's what he says in verse 11. Unto which, that is unto the gospel, I am appointed. What is he appointed? A teacher, or rather a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. It was Paul's great privilege and great responsibility to spread the gospel actively. That's our first responsibility, to spread it actively. The second responsibility that he prescribes for us is in verse 12. And there the responsibility is that we are to suffer for it bravely. We are to suffer for it bravely. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I suffer bravely. Verse 12, for I know whom I have believed. And then our final responsibility in this passage is that we are to safeguard it faithfully. And that's what he describes in verses 13 to 18. We are to be defenders of the gospel, and we are to preserve it by the grace of God from error. We are to proclaim its truth to those who so desperately need it. Now let's look for a moment at this first responsibility that God imposes upon us. And that is, the Bible says that we are to spread it actively. We have a responsibility to reach out to those around us who so desperately need the light which we possess, the light that life and immortality can be found in a personal, vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a tremendous responsibility to spread that message actively. And I think that's the burden of verse 11. Paul says, unto which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And as I look at that verse, I see two things. Verse 11, which kind of amplify this idea of spreading it actively. I see, first of all, Paul's commission, unto which I am appointed. I see, secondly, more specifically, Paul's calling. And he has a threefold calling. He is to be a preacher, he is to be an apostle, and he is to be a teacher. We'll look at those. Paul always had a very dynamic and comprehensive relationship to the gospel message. It did not leave him comfortably feeling that now his own soul was saved and there was nothing any longer to worry about. It didn't leave him like that. I sometimes sense, as I see perhaps a spirit of apathy which so easily creeps into modern Christendom, I sometimes sense that that's the way some of us feel. I'm very comfortable. I'm very secure. I have been saved. I can point to the calendar date. I know that I'm born again. My personal, eternal security is settled, and now I can relax. Paul never had that spirit. That was never the spirit of the Apostle Paul. He always had a dynamic, energetic, active, comprehensive relationship to the message of the gospel. It did not leave him comfortably feeling that now all was well with his own soul and he could now relax. Instead, it laid upon him the inescapable task, of wearing himself out in order to bring others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same awesome, inescapable task is that which comes down to you and me in our day and age. We have this great duty, this great responsibility, having believed the gospel, having experienced its spiritual dynamic and energy and power in our own lives, we have this great responsibility to spread it actively with those toward those who so desperately need it. Now let's analyze this first for just a moment. First, Paul's commission. He says, unto which I am appointed. He's talking about the gospel. Last word of verse 10 is the gospel. Unto which I am appointed. Paul uses an emphatic word there, ego. In fact, we use it in the English, ego. He inserts it there in the Greek sentence. He says, unto which I. And he uses that emphatic expression, I believe, to emphasize his own sense of personal wonderment. To him, it was a thrilling thing to think that God had committed to his charge, to his stewardship, to his sense of responsibility, the privilege of taking this mighty message, which is unique on the face of the globe, and communicating it with so many other people who so desperately needed it. Paul was always concerned, by the way, that men would understand that his appointment to the ministry did not find its source in something ecclesiastical. It didn't come from the church, per se. It did not find its source in something personal. It was not a church-induced or a self-induced appointment. This appointment was laid upon him by God himself. And there's a very real sense in which God lays that same appointment upon every one of us. Unto which I am appointed. That's a special word. Tithemi is the word. Appointed. In the New Testament narratives, it almost always means destined by God. Appointed by God for a very special purpose. And whenever Paul says these things, whenever he says, I am appointed by God, whenever he says, I am destined by God, God has been at work in my life personally, whenever Paul says these things, we can be sure that he is not boasting. The accent in Paul's voice is not one of pride. It's never one of pride. It's an accent of humility. It's an accent of sheer amazement and wonderment to the end of his days, to the very edge of his grave. Paul could never outgrow this sense of wonderment and amazement that God could have chosen a man like him to be his vessel, to be his servant, through which this mighty message could be proclaimed. It was a thrilling and a humbling thing for Paul to realize that God had chosen him to be his servant. And I hope that same spirit permeates every one of us here. That was Paul's commission. But I want you to see Paul's calling very quickly here. It's in the latter part of verse 11, and he defines for us a little more precisely a threefold calling. Paul says that God has called me to be a preacher. Now, God has not called every one of us to be a preacher in the technical sense, but this is a beautiful word, this Greek word behind the English word preacher. And when you understand the implications of the word, there is a very real sense in which every one of us as believers can fulfill its implications. He says, he has called me to be a preacher. By the way, there's a little different emphasis in each one of these terms. Paul says he's called me to be a preacher. The emphasis there is on proclamation. He's called me to be an apostle. The emphasis there is on formulation. It was the apostles who formulated the message of the gospel and inscripturated it in the New Testament. And then he's called me to be a teacher, and the emphasis there is on edification, the building up, the edifying, the building up of the saints of God. That's the great function of teaching.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
God's peace is always the presence of all that makes for a man's highest good in this life and in the life to come.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.